Every little girl wants a pony, and I want a dirigible. I want a dirigible! Where's my dirigible?
Spain.
To Spain!
Chocks away, and welcome to the Can Laughter Dirigible. Manning the guns is Mark.
Rat-a-tat-a-tat! Rat-a-tat-a-tat! Take that, Jerry! Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta! No, that's my uncle Jerry. He's, terrorist.
Keeping the balloon filled is Simon.
I need more gas, I need more gas over here. Bring in the beans. Why aren't Heinz sponsoring us? I want a deal. I want a bulk deal.
And insisting you refer to him as Sky Captain is me, Steph. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
I want a dirigible now.
Me too. I've been playing a lot of Project Icarus.
Kid Icarus?
fucking Guns of Icarus. Project Icarus, fucking moron. Guns of Icarus.
I have not.
Which is,
I just want
oh my god,
now.
It's the best game. It's the best game. It's where you build and fly your own dirigibles.
I want it already.
I know, it's great.
Oh, it's tower defense. Oh, I'm bored now. Wikipedia said it was.
Guns of Icarus Online.
Oh, you never mentioned the online bit.
Well, come on now. If you just search for Guns of Icarus, it's on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's an FPS. Okay, if you search Wikipedia for Guns
of... It's not an FPS.
Wikipedia says... Guns of Icarus Online is a steampunk-themed multiplayer first-person shooter video game developed and published by Muse Games. It is a follow-up to Guns of Icarus and released on October 29th, 2012.
It's not a first-person shooter. You are a first-person in only the way that you have to man stations.
Right.
You can be a first-person engineer and putting out fires on your dirigible. Look, fucking things I do for you people, honestly.
I was going to say first-person firefighter doesn't sound nearly as cool, but it does.
Yeah, it does.
It kind of does. I'd play that.
Yeah.
Sim
sexy fireman.
Here, this is the Yogscast doing Guns of Icarus. Also, shameless promotion for the Yogscast. They're pretty cool.
Another podcast is mentioned in silence.
What's the podcast?
Video was linked and
it's a thing that goes up online. But I'm not going to watch it right now because we're doing a podcast.
Well, yes. Fine. Whatever.
We'll trim this bit.
Yeah.
I am closing the padlock of external videos.
Click. So anyway, what have you guys been up to?
I've been working and buying things.
Ooh, what things? Anything shiny, anything new, anything good, any fun?
Not that I haven't already mentioned. I imagine that I bought a bed, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm very happy for you.
Why?
Because you should have bought a massive hammock.
Oh, yeah, the hammock. Well, I didn't because I'm unsure on the sturdiness of the walls.
Do you get commission for hammock sales, Steph? Is this?
I should do. I'm buying him a hammock for Christmas.
Great. Hammock shill and a cat.
A cat? You want a cat? I get you a cat. I get you three cats.
Got a cat guy.
I do actually have a cat guy at this point in time. There is a guy selling cats at work. If you want me to get you a cat, I can post you a cat.
If this was like 5 years in the future, I would totally say, get me a cat. But right now, I'm a bit, not ready for a cat just yet. You know how some people are like, oh, darling, are we ready for a baby yet? I don't know, darling. I need to pay rise, and also we should pay off a bit more of the mortgage. I'm like that, but instead of babies, it's cats.
See, I literally had that conversation with my wife the other day. Thank you for making me sound so upper middle class.
That's no problem.
And I like the particular emphasis on mortgage.
It felt appropriate.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, me, cats, some point, not yet.
Okay.
That's a tale to hear of it.
Yeah, just when you reach a significant level of loneliness. Hello.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm okay.
Been up to anything interesting?
I think a ghost is fucking with me, but that's about it, really.
Go on.
Carry on.
Well,
first of all, are you sure it's not your girlfriend?
Well, both of these occurrences happened while Becky wasn't there, so I'm going to say...
Well, I mean, just because she's not there doesn't mean that she isn't just hiding and fucking with you.
Maybe, but I doubt it, because one of them involves... the Netrunner meet, and she'd never go there. That's... Yeah. She calls it Nerdrunner, and yeah.
I can't talk.
And the thing is, I I quite like it, so I don't correct her. It's like, yeah, it's like, Snowdrop.
Like, you can mock all you like, but you're going to bed with a winner this evening, and you know you love it.
Yeah, 7 agenda points, baby.
Yeah, I could mock for all that I don't know, but I spent half a semi-recent episode talking about fucking triangles. So, not fucking triangles, but triangles.
Actually, I really like that episode. I don't know about you. There's that point where we're just talking about maths and shapes is actually one of the more interesting things we've ever discussed.
I think it reached that good balance of like sort of nerdy inquisitive conversation and general bullshit.
Quick sidebar: I saw like the very next day after we recorded that episode, I watched an episode of like a Dice Tower review, and Tom Vassell was wearing the 100 side dice t-shirts. Yeah. I was like, I know what that is now. I feel so ever so slightly nerdier. But yeah, so I was at the meet last night, and every time I went to have another drink from my pint, like, I could swear more had gone than I was aware of. I think a ghost was maybe drinking my drink. There's no way I finished that in like 4 gulps. Like, someone else was drinking that drink, and there wasn't anyone like in arm's reach of that pint glass.
Maybe your glass was leaky.
Don't know, didn't spill on me. But then today we were doing some secret internal projects at work which required pinning lots of pictures up on walls and putting post-it notes on them. And I printed out 100 or so of the images that we needed yesterday, took them over today to our facility, and I got there and there was like 5 of them, 6 of them missing. And I definitely printed them all out. I definitely picked them all up. None of them blew away between the two buildings. But at some point between me getting to the facility and putting down the papers and realised, yeah, 5 of them were missing. Someone is definitely fucking with me.
Steph, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't really believe in things like ghosts, but I can understand why someone would want to fuck with Mark, because it's a lot of fun. So I'm going to assume that either he is convinced that he'd done something he actually hadn't, which, let's be honest, has happened to us all. Mm-hmm. Or there is actually someone following around, stealing his paperwork and messing up his shit and drinking his pints.
Yeah. To that guy, props.
Yeah, well done.
Also, can I have my things back?
if you think about it, maybe he's hiding in your blind spot all the time.
Maybe.
Maybe he's he's hiding in the dirigible.
He's got a blind spot dirigible.
Don't tell him. Don't let on about the dirigible. Give you a ride in it.
Oh, can I ride in the dirigible?
You can have a ride in the dirigible.
I'd like to ride in the dirigible.
It'd have to be a fairly small dirigible to stay in my blind spot all the time, though.
It's manned by mice.
Ah.
Maybe you just got a huge blind spot.
I have a larger dirigible that's full of smaller dirigibles full of mice. So.
it's a meta blimp.
What pilots a larger dirigible? Like a weasel? Or
a robot me.
Robot Steph.
I'm very busy, and plus I'm not in London. But, you know, I had to park the dirigible somewhere.
Did you clone your brain patterns and... put them into
It's always linked up. It's part of the Google Glass features.
Ah, right. It's like a kind of a real life second life.
Third life. No, wait.
That's getting really deep now.
Yeah. Speaking of deep, how many mini dirigibles fit inside the meta blimp?
Honestly, thought you were going to say something else then. 42 in the storage area. But you could probably scatter them around the deck.
And you could easily have some hook to the outside for easy release.
It really depends on how many... Yeah.
Can the meta blimp serve as like a master station for refueling the mice dirigibles?
Yes. Although it only functions on the finest Raculum.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy. It's starting to get to me.
Please don't say the FF word in my presence.
Well, it's not really Final Fantasy. I'm playing Bravely Default, which is sort of Final Fantasy.
Oh, it's like Final Fantasy with a different name.
Yeah, and it's like a return to form for Final Fantasy. It's really fun.
Except not a Final Fantasy game, and not called Final Fantasy.
Well, it's about 4 heroes who have different job roles, all your classic Final Fantasy job roles, restoring the world's 4 crystals. So I don't know much more of a Final Fantasy game than that. That is traditional Final Fantasy.
Does it include turn-based androgyny battles?
Yes.
Then I am not interested.
Fair enough.
However, I would like to know more about the meta blimp. Is there an intermediate size? Could we say put four of the smaller mouse blimps into storage and have like a kitty blimp?
I suppose so.
You don't want to have any animals that could potentially eat the other sky captains.
Well, no, we'd have
there's
we'd,
only
we'd
one
have
sky captain.
We'd have appropriate partitioning procedures so that the kitty blimp was not aware that the mouse blimp exists. The mouse blimps get priority because they're the main stowaways on board. But the kitty blimp, we could shuttle a kitty blimp in the meta blimp as a service that we hire out to the private sector. Because we all know cats prefer to work in the private sector.
No, everyone knows cats don't work.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, cats.
Cats are the if cats were people, they'd be reality TV stars.
If cats were people, they'd be lazy middle managers.
If cats were people, they'd be reclusive billionaires.
Private sector.
Think about it. Someone always brings them food. Yeah. They fuck about whenever they want. They bring stuff.
Either way, it's where the cash is.
Need bringing home.
Yeah, they line
they
up
deadly murder.
Yeah, anything that means money.
They kill wild animals. They hunt.
And they hunt. Yeah,
exactly. See, billionaires,
and they love getting their tummy scratched.
If I was a billionaire, I would have a man. I would have a man to come and scratch my tummy.
Oh God, who wouldn't?
I'd pay Simon to come and do it.
Only if you'd return
that
the favour.
That would be Simon's Final Fantasy.
It's all right. I tell you what, Simon, it'd be a good job. It'd be 40,000 a year with Booper.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to be available to scratch my tummy whenever I want. Except, you know, weekends. You can have weekends off. And bank holidays.
What happens if you get a tummy scratching need on the time when Simon's not there?
I can scratch my own tummy. I can debase myself. But I'd rather, you know, rather pay a man.
Rather pay a man to do it. Is there any any particular qualities you would like this tummy scratcher to present?
Well manicured nails.
I can do that. I keep mine short.
Moisturizer? I mean, I don't want you to have rough, calloused hands.
I could moisturize for you.
There you go. This is getting weird.
And any particular outfit you'd prefer? Dungarees? A tux?
I'll tell you what, tux would be impressive. Just ring a bell. Let me get my belly scratched. Ding. And then just a man in a tuxedo is like, Uranza.
Just a sailor hat and a pair of Speedos.
Yeah. Scratch, 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 scratch. Thank you, Simon. Yes, you may go.
It would
be gone with you.
If I was to be in a sailor hat and a pair of Speedos, it would have to be the Uranza voice. And if I was in the tux, I'd have to be the sort of the fancy flamboyant. Oh, hello. That you cannot have any other combination.
Oh, fair enough.
Who wants their tummy scratched?
That's
that just makes it sound more appealing.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I've still got the Wikipedia page for Dirigible open. And now I want a Dirigible. Or a Zeppelin. What's the difference? I'm trying
to Google.
For a moment, Simon and I's consciousness merged.
Yeah, let's not do that again. It was full of thoughts of pop punk and Vag.
I just had a really irritating cough.
Fuck off. Dirigible blimp. Zeppelin. The term Zeppelin. Oh, Zeppelin is a genericized trademark.
Oh, right. So Zeppelin's like the Hoover of the dirigible world.
Yeah. A blimp is a non-rigid aerostat.
Yep. Zeppelin is a particular trademarked rigid airship. And a dirigible is just any lighter than aircraft, which is both powered and steerable. So it encapsulates Zeppelins and blimps. Huh.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you, airships.net / dirigible.
The fine work you've been doing to keep our website online for all these years for only us.
I tell you what, it's
a
fairly impressive website. There's a lot of stuff on here. Lots of stuff about the Hindenburg. Hindenburg insurance payout, $81 million in current dollars, according to Fortune magazine. Jesus.
Is that still going?
A lot.
Can you still take out insurance plans?
The lawsuit.
In Hindenburg?
I imagine so.
It's not still going though, is it? I mean, didn't it boom explode?
Yeah, but I imagine it's like a class action lawsuit that just never ended.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like some person like every 5 years is like, yeah, fancy a bit of money, Hindenburg it is. Next week, Hillsborough.
That was poor taste, but fair enough.
I'm not the one making the claims.
You know what? I don't actually know what happened in the Hillsborough incident. I know there was a football thing and people got crushed, but I don't know how or why.
I don't know either. I think it was a football thing and people got crushed. And then I think the Sun printed some bullshit that blamed the victims.
It was the stadium was packed to over capacity, and then they all kind of like fell over and crushed each other in the most broadest sense of a disaster. That's basically what happened.
Fair enough. Yeah, I just
think the police beat the day going as well.
Oh yeah, well, the police were always beating people in the '80s. No offense, any policemen listening, but you were kind of dickheads back then.
To be fair, if we have any policemen listening, there probably weren't policemen in the '80s.
Old policemen, fuck you guys.
Well, that's another. That's
right,
another
I'm off to
exception.
Jail. I'll see you guys later.
Are you going in a Monopoly sense, where you put your top hat on the just visiting section, just to make it clear that you are just visiting?
Yeah.
Or am I the only one that does that?
No, I always go down the just visiting route if I'm just visiting. It depends if I've been arrested or not.
Oh, it wasn't... they didn't beat anyone. It's just the police let too many people in. Police were basically the bouncers, and they let too many people into the stadium, and it crushed. Uh-huh. 96 people died, 766 were injured.
That's a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, it was.
That's like... at least... 10 horses.
Ten horses worth of people.
Yeah, that could count.
Well, we have our best horse accountants on the case. Like, if I was a horse, right?
This will be fun.
I'd be really pissed off that someone nailed my shoes to my feet.
I want to put him down, but this is something about horseshoes that I've never completely understood.
Look, I understand
why they're
there. I'm going to
play devil's advocate and cautiously go with Mark on this one.
What the hell?
Cautiously. Just see what happens. I'm not going to say that I agree. I'm just going to sit back, wait to see what happens. And if he doesn't get shot down, then I'll be like, oh yes, I wondered that too. Thank you, mysterious man I've invented for the purpose of this hypothetical conversation. I am really putting my hands on my hips as if I'm doing a pose.
You're basically dipping your toes into the water of my stupidity.
Yeah.
Title.
I am taking just the tip of your moron cock.
Well, that's grim.
Yeah. But if I came round to your house tomorrow, Steph, and nailed your Ugg boots to your feet, like, you'd be pretty pissed off with me.
Well, you
like, however, if I did that, you would not carry me around on your back.
While I will point out, Mark, that would be irritating and actually fairly life-threatening at some point, I don't imagine you would use, you know, sterilised nails, nor are my Ugg shoes particularly sterilised either. I will have to point out that horses don't have feet per se. There's no nerve endings in that stuff, in their hooves. And actually, it's more painful for them to wear it down walking on the roads and all other things than it is to... not have metal nailed to their bone stuff.
Oh yeah? Well, it behooves me to beat Mark to the punch on that one. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
I know.
I thought that was it. Like with cats and the scruff of their neck. There's no muscle there. The skin is really flexible. That's why you can pick them up there. It's a thing where. Like, this bit of an animal is not like a human in that you pinch it and ow. That there is that.
Well, why don't they wear, like, little metal horse booties that they can take off if they want?
How are they going to take them off? They lack opposable thumbs or hands of any kind.
Well, people will take them off. People are the reason they have, like, metal nailed to their feet in the first place.
Yeah, but it's much easier for those people to just nail the shoes to their feet and carry on. And then take the horseshoes off later on and then nail new horseshoes to their feet.
Well, they have to do that. They could easily, at the end of the day, when the horse is done, like, clopping around on streets and stuff, they just undo the little latch on the shoe, and the horse just steps out of his little horseshoe.
In fact, come to think of it, I don't think you probably get a good enough fit with a latched-on metal shoe. You'd probably still move around, which would defeat the entire purpose of trying to protect the hoof.
Well, it'd basically be kind of like the Iron Man suit, but for horse feet.
Why would you need to take the horseshoes off in the first place if they do such a good job at protecting the horse's feet?
Well, I don't know. They might want to take their shoes off. Like, I like taking my shoes off.
You're not a horse.
You're a horse, mate. You don't know. You've never spoken to a horse.
Oh, jeez. We're way too early on the horse talk anyway. We're supposed to wait till episode 93.
Is it 93 now?
It's 93.
The horse cast.
Every 31 episodes, we talk about horses.
Great. Sorry, all right, we'll move on. This is a taster. Taster for episode 93. More horse bullshit. Horse bullshit 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, it'll be horse bullshit 3 by that point.
Horse bullshit 3.
Yeah, we've had the horse can cut our money and doorknobs for horses.
Horse harder.
No, it'll be horse with a vengeance by that point.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, I'm mixing up my subtitles. I don't really care.
No, numbering things the Die Hard way is the best way to go. Because then, by number 4, we have Live Free or Horse Hard.
Yeah, or in Europe, it'll be Horse Hard 4.0. Because, Brits don't understand Americans, even though America probably exports its culture more than any other country in the world.
Even though so many Britons have Sky.
It's not that we don't understand, it's that we don't care. Like, I speak to a lot of Americans at work, a lot of my clients are Americans, and some of the people I work with are Americans, and they have... You know, most of them are kind of groovy, switched on people, but there are some who are very...
Sorry, who said groovy, switched on people since the 60s?
Eddie Izzard, fuck off. you fucking lost my point now. No, but some of them have a very inflated sense of self-worth, and it's sort of like, you know, how can you not be paying attention to what's going on in America? It's like, well, because I don't live there, and I really couldn't give less of a shit. It's like, well, you're like, what, 9 hours away? Anything that happens over there really doesn't concern me too much. Unless it's like global economy or war, I don't care who's camping outside this place. Yeah, well, no, that's the stuff that we care about. That's stuff that goes in the news, not shit tip fucking Iowa. You know, their mayor is on crack. I don't give a shit. Who cares? I cared more about the Canadian dude being on crack because it's Canada and they're fun. They're groovy switched on people. Fuck you, Mark.
What? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying people haven't said it since the 60s.
I started caring about American news more when I started making more American friends. Because now I actually care about people that it affects.
all the Americans I know and like don't live in America anymore.
So does that say something about America then?
Well, you know.
I think Simon's accelerating.
I got nothing.
There's something that really bugs me about escalators.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because they are basically moving staircases. So yes. Why is it when an escalator breaks down and therefore becomes a staircase, you're not allowed to walk on it? Because it's dangerous.
Maybe in case it starts up again.
I think the underside of an escalator might be the most terrifying collection of gears and mechanisms ever. And if it doesn't have the support of the moving parts, it probably might have too much weight on it at any one point.
That's a good point, actually. It could be that the movement of the escalator is taken into consideration when working out the maximum weight the escalator supports. If it's not moving to the side, because even that...
That's a really shoddily built escalator, then.
I think that's just how it works.
Yes, things...
Well, like, if you install an escalator, you're probably going to have to walk down it at some point when it's switched off. See, that's like a life or death job. They're going to have to make it, you know, support people when it's switched off.
If you're walking down it it's being installed, it's just one of you. When you start multiplying that by a few people... I mean, we're just guessing here. I don't know the reason why you can't.
We're not professional escalator people.
No. The professional escalator people are due on the podcast next week. To be honest, I'm only jumping on that weight issue because it's the most plausible one that we've thrown out yet. I was trying to think of another one, and I couldn't. Although it has reminded me that one time in my life, I really want to go down an up escalator or up a down escalator. But I just need to know that no one's going to get on at the other end because I don't want to ruin their day. I just want to have my fun.
I think I have that awkward moment of, do I turn around or try and barge past them?
Yeah. I mean, if it's...
Always barge past them.
If it's one of those places where there is an established convention of everybody stands to the right or stands to the left, then that would be fine because I just go on the other side. However, They usually only happen at tube stations. And have you seen how big those escalators are? That is hardcore level.
I love being at a tube station. Someone does the wrong thing and stands on the right, and you're just like, whoa! Everyone loses their shit.
Do they?
Londoners, man.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah.
No, you have to stand on the right. You stand on the right, and people move up the left
way,
side. Yeah.
Whichever way. You stand on the right
to keep the Tories happy.
Yeah. But then the people stand on the right with huge fucking bags that, you know, obtrude into the left-hand side. You're like, what? Just move your fucking suitcase.
Nah, it's just my suitcase. Just my suitcase, bro.
Just for my stuff, right?
For all my stuff.
Chips. My fucking chips.
Oh, I've got a big bag of potatoes in there. I'm tacking them all for the child. You want my child to go angry?
I don't know where his accent's going, but it's a nice tour of England.
I tell you what is, like, mentally strange, though, is when you step on a still elevator, a still escalator, and you have that moment of, this should be moving, but it's not, and I'm gonna keep walking, and we're okay, now into the stair, but it's fine. But initial bit where it's flattened is a bit of a mindfuck when you first step on it.
Oh, I love the travelators. I just stand on them when I'm going past them and just watch the world go by. I have been known to loiter on a travelator. Just put my arms on the handrail with sunglasses on, just kick back, looking cool, or trying to look cool as best I can.
And just travelate.
And then just travelate. And then at the end, just walk off as if nothing happened.
Yeah, as if everyone knew you were cool and you just had this moment.
Or as if I'm gaslighting everyone on what just happened. It just gives me a chance to step into a different life and back out again in a period of about 40 seconds. I appreciate that.
Understandably so.
Hmm. There's not many other lives you can dip into for tens of seconds at a time. You can't kill a man to see what it feels like and then unkill him. That doesn't work.
But if we could do that, that would actually be one of the best-selling things.
What, the ability to unkill somebody?
No, just we could sell the ability to kill someone and then unkill them immediately just to see what it'd be like to kill a man. Or do you think that would cause more problems than it solved?
Probably cause quite a few problems, I imagine.
Once they get a taste for murder.
Yeah, because then I suppose they're stuck. They could be stuck in the loop of doing the kill-unkill thing. It depends if the person else continues to restart if they lose all their lives. But otherwise, yeah, it could be a dangerous, slippery road of just basically introducing a lot more serial killers to the world.
I think you're falling into the trap of thinking that anyone who tries serial killing is instantly going to like it. Like, I've never tried serial killing. I don't have a particular urge to do so. But if I did, if I somehow managed to get a complete consequence-free taste of it, I don't think I would warm to it.
It seems like an awful lot of effort.
It seems like a lot of effort, and you cause a lot of misery. And you can't go out in public anymore. You can't go, like, down the local shop and buy a slush puppy because people recognise you as that guy who kills all those people. That's not good.
No, I like my slush puppy. It's kind of...
You'd have to maintain a degree of secrecy to your killing.
And a dirigible.
You could kill from your dirigible.
I tell you what, this
you could order tiny
into...
mouse airstrikes.
Ooh, sort of like suicide bombers with tails.
Throwing small wheels of cheese, throwing baby bells at you. They're tiny mouse dirigible.
Oh, dear Lord.
Tell me that wouldn't be the cutest thing ever.
Aside from all the death, I think it would be the cutest thing ever.
Aside from all the death.
Well, I mean, how many people die from exposure to a baby bell to the cheek? Not many.
Really heavily lactose intolerant people.
Just one touch. Ah, no!
My melting! Melting!
But, it's apropos of nothing, but can we talk about how fucking stupid that film is?
Yeah, sure.
What, was it
that film is fucking stupid.
Yeah, particularly the bit... To be honest, Futurama's lampshaded all the problems with it, but the two main problems I have with it are one tiny bit of water kills the witch dead, Somehow she survives and doesn't die of thirst. So that's bollocks. And also, why would Dorothy want to go home? There's no place like home, except it's so bad there isn't even any colour. And I'm treated like a whore. Not whore, wrong word. Slave. Something in between those two. Not treated with respect.
Sex worker?
And then there's this wonderful, colourful world where everyone dances and the saturation's turned way up. And red shoes. I mean, if sparkly shoes are your thing, you got to be all over those.
Yeah, but you do get attacked by witches and winged monkeys, though.
Yeah, but you've
killed both the witches.
I was going to say, and the first thing you do when you get there is kill someone. So basically, the Wizard of Oz is the serial killer, you know, starting.
Yeah, but both thing. The witches are gone because they turned out to be, surprise, surprise, soluble. So the winged monkeys have no one to report to. They'll probably slip into. They'll either go freelance.
Or descend into anarchy, really. Just be throwing their winged poop around.
Yeah, or they'll regress. Or they will just slip into a life of general neutrality on the good-evil scale.
What, monkeys for hire?
Yeah.
Come think of it.
Grey hat monkeys.
The weather there must be really good as well, considering that those witches are soluble, and they would never have been soluble had the weather ever rained, has it ever rained there.
Unless they kept inside the entire life.
But how would you be crushed by a house outside then?
Well, maybe she just nips to the shop for a pint of milk. Look, it looks alright, sun's out, I'm gonna risk it.
So you're saying she has literally the worst luck out of any witch ever?
It could have been her first day outside. Ever.
And she's taking a risk.
She needed a cup of tea, she needed some milk in that tea, she nipped to the shop, and wouldn't you know it, she dies. That's why a lot of parents want to bubble wrap their children. It's like, oh no, you're not gonna go outside, you're gonna die. At least that was my mother anyway.
She actually told you were going to die?
Probably. She...
Does your mother talk like this?
She all but covered me in actual bubble wrap when I was a child. Which would have been cool, but I'd have popped it all, so I can see why she didn't.
Yeah, you would have just taken a sharp pin and stuck it in yourself to pop the bubbles.
And then just died from my haemophilia.
From your haemophilia. Yeah, the bleeding is your water.
Yeah, basically.
I'm bleeding! Bleeding!
Who knew a sharp edge could do so much damage to me?
How did the Wicked Witch of the West piss?
I imagine it has to be something like at least like 95% pure water.
He's saying that water was ionized. Are you saying it was holy water?
Possibly.
Well, no, cause...
Let's be honest, we're talking about a girl who took her house in a whirlwind to a magical land called Oz, and when she came back, no one had noticed the house had gone.
Well, no, because she just woke up from a dream. So it was the shittiest storytelling device ever, and it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. So basically, Dorothy got a taste of what it was like to be happy, and then woke up to find that none of that was real. Now she knows what she's missing, and she knows she can never get it back again.
You know, unless she hides in another barn during another storm.
So what you're saying is, Dorothy is encouraging climate change.
Yes. Yes.
I don't understand that film.
It's just childish fantasy.
Yeah. I understand what's...
I mean, it's just kind of childhood escapism. Like, you want to go somewhere magical and mystical and just away from the mundanity of everyday life, so...
Yeah, but at least give me some plausible ways to get there. Because if it's just, oh, there's a storm, and then the barn disappears, it's like, well, I'll never know what's going to happen. I mean, what happens if I get whisked away to that magical land when I'm in the middle of brushing my teeth? Or having a wank? I don't want to be interrupted during either of those things. What if I'm eating my dinner?
You crush the witch and come out cock in hand going, what happened?
I suppose there'd be nothing worse than getting your first taste of murder whilst also reaching climax.
You certainly wouldn't want to kill the Wicked Witch with your vinegar strokes.
How did you come across that term? So, do you watch The League? Or have you found another way that term has cropped into your life?
Vinegar strokes. Yeah, no, I learned it at school.
Really? Because I'd never heard that before until I watched The League, and they talk about vinegar strokes.
No, I don't remember where I heard Vending Strokes. It was probably from the same friend that told us all what knob cheese was.
To be a child again. Just learning about things like knob cheese. Do you also know about Eskimo Brothers?
What?
No.
And your Eskimo brother is someone who's had sex with the same person that you have. So, any ex-boyfriends...
Why Eskimo?
Because you've been inside the same igloo.
Ah.
Oh.
Well, that's disturbing.
I don't think I have any. Nope, don't think I have any. I don't think I am friends with anyone who has done any of my exes.
I know...
Well, it's not just friends, it's just anyone who's done any of your exes.
Oh, no.
They are just your Eskimo brother.
Well, those people will exist, but fuck them. I don't know who they are. I don't care for them. In one case, I particularly don't approve of their taste in case. But, and what was the deal with the Oompa Loompas anyway? No, wrong film. Who were the small people?
The Munchkins.
What did they do again? Didn't they have that awful song that was awful?
Yeah. Ding Dong the Witch is
no,
Dead.
No, the other one.
Follow the Yellow Brick
no,
Road.
No, the other one.
I think they only sang two songs.
No, there's another one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's The Wizard of Oz. It's full of fucking songs. That's why all the gays love it. Oh, I'm sorry. All those non-broken gays.
You're no friend of Dorothy, are you, Simon?
We're dropping the ballast and are floating away into the clouds. Casting off is Mark.
Anchors away! No, wait, come back! No! Oh, fuck!
Plotting the course is Simon.
We will head into the west to see this majestic sunset forever. We may have to travel about 900 miles an hour, so hold on to something.
And drinking everyone's rum ration is me, Steph. And remember, if you would like to leave us some fabulous feedback on iTunes, 5-star feedback that is, that'd be great. We'll even come round the dirigible. Bye!
If you are, it's obviously something we have no experience in, but if you are like a teenage girl.
Go on!
Okay, I'm trying to imagine.
I'm getting in the mindset.
Oh my god,
and
my vagina!
Are.
Okay, I'm in there.
Oh, sorry. Anyway,
carry on, just let it go. Just carry on.